A morning today's daf in Shabbos Pei Gimel. We are on Pei Beis Amud Beis. We are about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, beginning with the words Rebbe Lazar Amar. Baruch Hashem, yesterday we began the 9th parak of the Masechta, and we are going to go on a tangent. This parak, Mishnah by Mishnah, is going to take us through various areas of Shas, dealing with other topics totally unrelated to that of Shabbos. The reason why the parak is doing so is because it's following the construct of the last Mishnah of the 8th parak of our Masechta. 8th parak brought down the halacha regarding cheres, how much cheres does one have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev. Three-way machlokas amongst the Tanayim. But one of the shitas actually is supported by a pasuk in Navi. It's a remez. And so with that idea that we have a halacha and then a smach, a remez from a pasuk in Navi, so our Mishnayos now here in the 9th parak are going to go over other areas in halacha where it's not beferish in the Torah, but nevertheless, you have a remez in the Navi that speaks to this idea. So that is the Mishnayos, and that will be our pursuit for the next number of days here in this 9th parak of the Masechta. Our topic that we started off yesterday was the topic of Tumah as it relates to Avodah Zarah. You have a chefzer shel Avodah Zarah, an item of Avodah Zarah. It is asabana. The Torah prohibits us to get any benefit from that item. It must be destroyed. And as we learned yesterday, and we're going to now continue learning today, we're going to finish the sugya today. The discussion amongst the Tanaim is that we know that the Chachamim slapped a Tumah derabanan on the Chetzer shel Avodah Zarah. Now, even though the Torah already prohibits it and we're not allowed to get benefit from it, nevertheless, the Chachamim wanted even more distance between us and any item of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Chachamim placed a Tumah derabanan on it. And as I explained yesterday, back in the day, Tumah was a serious consideration. And when there is a Tumah derabanan that would further distance anybody from the item itself, people remain far from Tumah. Not unlike today, where unfortunately Tumah Tahara is something that we learn about, but there's not much in terms of practice. And it's just not part of our thought process. Nevertheless, back in the day, Tumah was a serious consideration. So this Chetzer shel Avodah Zarah has a Din Tumah, and now the details, and that is, what degree of Tumah does it have? So in the Mishnah yesterday, we saw the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that it's Metame B'Masa, meaning there are three levels of Tumah, of something which has an Ava Tumah. It could either be Metame B'Maga, contact, Masa, carrying, or Ohel. And it depends on the level of Tumah or what type of Tumah it is. Shrasim, for example, Metame B'Maga. Nevela and Anida, as other example, is Metame B'Masa, with carrying it. And Meis is Metame B'Ohel. And Rabbi Kiva Shita is that the Tumah that was placed on the Chetzer shel Avodah Zarah is going to be like a Nida. And therefore, it's Metame B'Maga U'V'Masa. And the Pasuk in Navi. The Gemara quoted from Sefer Yeshayahu, Tizarem kamo dava tzei tamar lo, that you should be far away from it. The word Tizarem we learned yesterday's daf, from the word zar, estrangement. And tzei tamar lo, you have to basically tell the Avodah Zarah, get out of my house, I want no peace of you. And as a result of that, the Chachamim places Tumah on it, which matame b'mago v'masa. We learned yesterday the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that brought down that this is subject to a machlokis. And it's machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chacham. Rabbi Kiva, as we just went over, says it's metame b'masa. The shita of the Chachamim, however, as we learned in the Mishnah in Nida, is that it's metame b'maga. It's like a sheretz. And therefore, it's going to be metame b'maga. Okay. And that's the machlokes Tanaim, as we know, both the Mishnah here in Shabbos and the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. But then it gets a little bit complicated. Because then, as we learned yesterday, a machlokis amarayim, exactly what is the machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim? Yesterday we went through the shita of Rabbah, and we'll say it outside. Rabbah's shita is that everyone's in agreement, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, that the Avodah Zarah is metame b'masa. Nobody disputes that point. Then if that's the case, what exactly is the machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim? Rabbi Kiva says that the comparison between Avodah Zarah and Nida is a full comparison. And as we learned yesterday, Anida is Metame with a unique type of Tumah known as Evan Mesama. We went through the Rashi yesterday giving us the detail of what exactly Evan Mesama is, but to say it easily and succinctly, if the nida is on top of a kli, even though her weight is not on the kli, she will transmit the tuma of anything that's underneath her. And as a result of that, this is a tuma specific to nida. But Rabbi Akiva says that this, since this tuma now is going to be translated directly over to the Avodah Zarah, so the Avodah Zarah also is going to be metame with Eva Misama. As opposed to the Shita of the Chachamim, where on one hand they do agree that the Avodah Zarah is metame b'masa, like Anida, but that's where the comparison ends. According to the Chachamim, the Avodah Zarah is not going to be metame with Eva Misama. And as we learned yesterday, the truth of the matter is that this machlokes between Rabbi Kim and the Chachamim is really predicated on, you have conflicting psukim. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we already quoted, compares the Avodah Zarah to a nida. On the other hand, the pasuk that we quoted in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, shaket tishaketzenu, that we have to basically treat the Avodah Zarah like shkatzim v'ramasim, like shratzim. So therefore, the Torah compares it to a sheretz. And it's just a balancing now of, we see that the Torah actually gives us two comparisons, and which one do we favor? And so according to Rabbah, they both agree that it's metame b'masa. It's just a question of how far do we go with the comparison to Nida. Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, all the way. Not only metame b'masa, but even Evan Misama. Whereas according to the Chachamim, it's only b'masa, not b'Evan Misama. Adkan, that takes us to what we got through yesterday. And now as we continue in the Gemara, we're going to go over Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar is going to give us a different viewpoint of what exactly the machlokas is between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar Amar be'Evan Misama dekulam lo plige de lo mitame. So Rabbi Elazar says that as far as Evan Misama, everyone's in agreement, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Kiva, that it's not going to be give off this special unique tuma of Evan Misama. Ki plige b'masa, the only machlokas is tumas masa. Rabbi Kiva saver kenita manita mitame b'masa af avarazar mitame b'masa. The Rabbanan Savre Kisheret. Masheret lo metame b'masa, af avodazar lo metame b'masa. Now Rabbi Elazar, well, let's first explain. Rabbi Elazar's shita is that according to Rabbi Kiva, it is metame b'masa, and according to Chachamim, not metame b'masa. And so over here, it is really more, it's a more straightforward presentation of the shitas of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Because now it comes out that it's not a subtlety, it's very simple, it's very basic. Whereas the Shita of Rabbi Kiva compares it to a Nida, which now will introduce to us Masa. You'll be Tame if you either make contact or you carry the Avodah Zarah. Whereas the Shita of the Chachamim is that no, it's like a Sheretz. And it's only going to be Metame B'maga, and it's not going to be Metame B'masa. A much simpler, straightforward presentation of the Machlokas. Now the Gemara is going to go over the details according to Rav Elazar. How does each understand the comparison the Torah makes? Rabbi Kiva, Lamahil Chaseit Gishla Sheretz. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, why would the Torah make any comparison to that of a Sheretz? Meaning, if according to Rabbi Kiva, the comparison to Nida is what is informing us the degree of Tama, so why would the Torah then go and compare it to a Sheretz? So the Gemara says, Limish Masha. So Tashmishi Avodah Zarah. Any instruments that are used to service, facilitate the Avodah Zarah, that is going to be metame b'maga, not b'masa, and certainly not ever misama. Now, according to the Chachamim, what is the hekesh to that of nida? So, ma nida ein leivar, ma favorazar ein leivar. Well, just like nida does not have tumas eivarim, which we're going to discuss in more detail later on. So, let's hold off on that discussion until later on. Let's just right now suffice to say that there is no Avarim as it relates to Anida. And by the way, we also spoke about it yesterday, but we're going to come back and we're going to explain in better detail this morning. So to buy Avodah Zarah, it's Ina Le'Avarim. Avodah Zarah is not going to be Tameh, subject to Tuma, when it's segmented and in pieces, but only when it's whole and intact. Vi Rabbi Akiva, as we now turn to the top of Pegimah Medalf, and according to Rabbi Akiva, Lamai Hilchus Ha'itkish Le'Nida, Lamasa. Now, the Gemara is setting ourselves up for a question. So according to Rabbi Akiva, why is it connected to Anida? So Avodah Zarah is connected to Anida because it gives off Tumas Masa. Now, we've already established that. But the Gemara now wants to know, Lukshel Nevela. So the Gemara says, but compare it to Nevela. Why wouldn't the Torah or the Navi compare it to Nevela? Meaning, as we explained this point yesterday, but let's reiterate. According to Rabbi Akiva, what's our goal? What's the destination? The destination is that the Torah wants to communicate to us that we should, that if we're going to slap a din tuma de rabbanan on an avodah zara, it should be metame b'magav amasa. That's the goal. And the Navi compares it to a nida. Yeah, but that gets complicated because nida, although nida is metame b'masa, but you also have the consideration of Evan Misama, and we needed another drasha to tell us not Evan Misama. But why do that? Why not just simply say that's metame like a nevela, and then we'll get to exactly the point we want to get to. That's metame b'magav amasa, and that would be it. So in Achanam, the Gemara says, you're right about that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the benefit, the gain that we do in comparing it to a nida as opposed to nevela is that we know that by nida there's no tumas evarim. So we want that idea. So therefore, the Torah, the Navi, is going to compare it to a nida to get us to the point that's mat mitame be evarim. So the Gemara says, now Rav Chama Bar Guria asks exactly this question. By Avodah Zarah, is it going to be Metame Be'evarim or not? So Tif Shalei Meha, Be'le Rabbanan, Be'le Rabbi Akiva, De'ena Le'evarim. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Haven't we just established that both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Akiva, in, this is an important provision, in Rebbe Lazar's presentation of their Machlokas, doesn't everyone concede the point that there is no Evarim? Certainly, according to the Chachamim, there's no Tumas Evarim. According to the Chachamim, the only transmission of Tumas is only B'maga. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that that the degree of Tumah by Avodah Zarah is going to be that of Masa, but the whole reason why the Torah compares it to Anida is to tell us that there's no Tumas Evarim. So why is Rav Chama Bar Guria asking this question, when according to Rav Elazar, nobody would say that there's Tumas Evarim? So the Gemara says, Rav Chama Bar Guria, Karava Masne, Ubaile Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says that Rav Chama Bar Guria was going like Rava's presentation, not like Rav Elazar's presentation, and he was asking the question according to Rabbi Kiva within Rava's presentation, because according to Rabbi Kiva within Rava's presentation, the comparison between the Avodah Zarah and the Nida is a complete comparison, meaning that it's going to be Metame, Bimaga, Uvamasa, and even Evan Misama. This is Rabbi Kiva according to Rava. And now the only question becomes, well, what then is the comparison to Sheretz going to do? Maybe to teach us a halacha about Evarim or not to teach us a halacha of Evarim. So the question of Rav Chama Bar Guria is only within the Shita of Rabbi Kiva as presented by Rava. Okay, admittedly, what we have over here is a complication. Because now we have a machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Kiva the Chachamim, exactly how far the Chachamim placed a tumah de rabbanan on the Avodah Zarah, and then the question of degrees. What level, what degree of tumah did they put on it? Degree is not the best way to say it. I want to edit myself. Not degree, but a question of how much tumah is going to be placed on it. So much that it's going to be metame b'maga with contact, b'masa by carrying. Even so far to say it's efen misama, this unique tumah that exists only by nida. Okay, so that is now the Gemara up until now. And the outline of the Gemara, before we continue, is that according to Rava, let's go Amora by Amora. According to Rava, everyone's in agreement, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, that Avodah Zarah is going to be Metame B'masa. You carry the Avodah Zarah, you are going to be Tame. And now the only debate between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is the unique status of Evan Misama that we have by Nida. Was that also transposed? Was that transmitted over to the Tumah of Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Kiva says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Whereas according to Rabbi Lazar, the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's Avodah Zarah is metame be maga uve masa. According to the Chachamim, the Avodah Zarah is only metame be maga and not be masa. Like I said, a more straightforward presentation of what the machloket sounds like, as we saw yesterday in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Meisvei. And now what we're going to be doing for the balance of this Amud is we're going to see together brisas that are going to clearly side with one of these ways that the machloket is presented, and certainly will present a challenge for the other Amora. And what the Gemara is going to be doing for the balance of today's Amud, the first Amud, is that we are going to be going through, can both of these positions still be defended based on the prices that we're going to see together? Mesbe. We start with the Braisa Avodazar Kesheretz Umishmasheha Kesheretz. So the Tanakama, which we, of course we assume is the Chachamim, said Avodazar is going to be like a Sheretz, meaning only Mitame Bamaga, and the same thing with Tashmishe Avodazar, only Mitame Bamaga. Rabbi Kiva Omer Avodazar Kenida Umishamsheha Kesheretz. And according to Rabbi Kiva, the Avodazar itself is like a Nida, and the Mishamshe Avodazar, that's going to be like a Sheretz, meaning Avodazar itself, Mitame Bamasa. Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, Mitame Kesheretz. Bishlam al Rav Elazar Nicha, now according to Rav Elazar, perfect, because that's exactly the way he presented the Machlokas. El Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, of course, it's unbelievably difficult, because according to Rabba, Rabba said that Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, that the that Avodah Zarah is Mitame Bit Masa. And meanwhile, in this Braisa, it's not true, or it doesn't seem that way. So I'm lecha Rabba. So Rabba would say to you, meaning this would be the defense that Rabba would provide. Mi elima memasnisa diktani. Now, although the brisa is difficult, is the brisa any better or any stronger than that of the Mishnah? The Mishnah and Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah and Avodah Zarah taught us. We saw this yesterday. Eitzav. The Gemara is quoting it. Eitzav v'avana v'afar of metamik kasheretz. That its wood and its stones and its dirt are going to be metamik kasheretz. V'ukimna my kasheretz. Now, when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, we asked the question, what does that mean, Kesheretz, like the Sheretz? Based on Rabba's understanding, everyone agrees that's going to be like a Nida. So why would the Mishnah say like a Sheretz? Sheretz only means that it doesn't have the full status of Tumas Nida, meaning Nida is Metame Bemasa, but Nida is also Metame with Evan Mesama. And Sheretz is just there to tell us, no, don't go that far. Not to the full extent of the comparison to Anida, scale it back. How is the Mishnah communicating to us that we have to scale it back? Because it's like a Sheretz. Meaning not exactly like a Sheretz, just simply mean scale back the Tumah. That's what the Braisa is trying to communicate to us. Admittedly, it's a difficult shot in the Braisa, meaning because the Braisa says Kisheretz, and so we're now to understand that Kisheretz means it's not totally like a Nida. We're going to scale it back a little bit, and it's going to be like a Sheretz in that regard. Okay, admittedly, it's a tough read in the Braisa, but at least you could suggest such a pshat, and Rabba's position is defensible. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to be challenging based on another Braisa. The Braisa reads as follows: Nachri v'dachris, a non-Jewish man and non-Jewish woman, Avodah Zarah, or the actual Avodah Zarah itself, Umisham Sheha, or the accessories used for the Avodah Zarah, Hain Velo Hesetan. So them, but not Heset. Now, Tumas Heset, generally speaking, means that you don't touch the item, but you move the item. Over here, however, right now, what the Gemara is thinking is that the word Heset over here is just another way to describe Masa, carrying the item. It is not the classic understanding of the word Heset. Heset means when you, the item who's tame, or the person who's tame, is moving something else. But over here, right now, at this stage of the Gemara, we assume Heset to mean Masa. And here is what we are saying, that both the man, the non-Jewish man, woman, the Avodah Zarah, and the Tashmishim are going to be tame, but only Maga, not Masa. And Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Hein V'Heset Tam, and Rabbi Kiva says they're tame with contact and with Heset. Okay. And Hesed over here means Masa. Now, Bisham al Rav Elazar Nicha. Now, again, according to Rav Elazar, it's perfect because it's exactly the way we presented it according to Rav Elazar. But El Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, it's difficult because, again, Rabba is of the opinion that both Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim say that the Tumah that is going to be transmitted from the Avodah Zarah is going to be Maga and Masa, and that's Likule Amma, that's according to everybody. Amlecha Rabba, the Rabba says, L'tamech Nachri v'nachris Nami, Hein v'lo Hesetan. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi will tell you the following. Look, the Braisa, once again, is difficult to me, but let's go back over the Braisa. Let's look at it again. What are the items mentioned in the Braisa? Well, the first two are not items. The first two are people. And specifically, Nachri v'Nachris, non-Jewish man, non-Jewish woman. Now, here's what you're saying as you're reading the Braisa and interpreting the Braisa. The Braisa says that when it comes to a Nachri v'Nachris, they're going to give off Tuma, only Maga, but not Masa. Now, Rabbi looks around and says to everybody, everyone knows it's patently not true, the Hatanya, we learned this back in Masech Nida. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael metamim b'ziva v'einachim metamim b'ziva min ha-Torah. The Tuma Ziva is only for Jewish men and women and not for non-Jews. The Torah only introduces this idea of Tuma. When a man or a woman has various discharges, not to go through all the details right now, so they are going to be an Avatuma with Maga and with Masa. That's true by Nida, that's true by Zava, it's true by Zav. Okay, all that's true. And not Nachrim, and not non-Jews. Avagazra alem shukazav l'chol divrayem, but we learn back in Masech Nida that the Chachamim placed a Tumah d'Rabbanan on the Nachri, on the Nachris, again, to create space and distancing, social distancing, between us and the Nachrim so that they will not come to socialization. The Gemara Nida goes over the specifics about what the concerns are. Aside from intermarriage, there are other concerns as well. The Gemara Nida went over them. Anyway, so this Tumah was placed on them. And what type of Tumah? So the Mishnah told us back in Nida, very clearly, it's Kizav. They're going to be treated like Zavim. Now, what does that mean? So, of course, what that means is, just like a Zav is Matameh B'magav Amasa, so too the Tumah D'Rabbanan on the Nachri and the Nachris is going to be B'magav Amasa. So Rabbi says, okay, I'm glad we have this Braisa, but the Braisa doesn't read correctly. There obviously is a corruption in the Braisa. Because the Braisa says that when it comes to the Nachri and Nachri, it's only Matameh B'magav, but not B'masa. But that's not true. So Ela Rabbi Mataris Latameh. So Rabbi says, so look, clearly the Braisa has to be read anyway with a new understanding. So Rabbi says, so let me now present the following understanding of the Braisa. Nachri v'Nachris, now when you're talking about the non-Jewish man and non-Jewish woman, Hein ve'aseitam, they're Matameh B'magav V'masa, and now, I'm sorry, ve'evim Mesama Shalahem, and also they're given this unique status of Evan Mesama. Evan Mesama, as we already said, is specific to Nida, and we're going to include that as well, Zav and Zava. Fine. So that will apply, that Tumah D'Rabbanan will apply to Nachri v'Nachris, and now we'll break, and now we'll move on to the next two items. Avodah Zara, first we'll tackle Avodah Zara. Hive Seita, the Avodah Zara is Metameh, B'magav V'masa, Aval, Lo Evan Mesama Shalah. But not Evan Mesama. So in other words, he's reading into the Braisa. Now again, the Braisa doesn't read this way, but Rabbi's telling us any way the Braisa is corrupted, any way we're going to have to reread the Braisa. So here's what we'll say. That when it comes to Avodah Zara itself, it's Metameh B'magav V'masa, but not Evan Mesama. And Rabbi Akiva Omer Avodah Zarah, he ve'aseita, when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, it's Metamba B'maga B'masa V'Evim Misama, Shalah, and also the Evim Misama, because again, according to Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva takes the comparison from Nida to Avodah Zarah as a complete comparison, and then Rabbi Lazar Mataris Latame, that was all the Braisa read as according to Rabbah. And Rabbi Lazar will say, no, this is how you're going to read the Braisa. And Rabbi Lazar also is going to have to reread the Braisa. Because again, clearly the Braisa had a corrupted version. And we know the beginning of the Braisa anyway needs to be edited. So we're just going to edit the Braisa. Here's Rabbi Lazar's version of the Braisa. When it comes to the Tumah D'Rabbanan that was placed on the non-Jewish man, non-Jewish woman, it's going to be Maga, it's going to be Masa, it's going to be Evan Misama. And Avodah Zarah, Hivaloa Seita. Now the Avodah Zarah itself is only B'maga Nav B'masa, and Rabbi Akiva Omer, Avodah Zarah, Hive Seita. And Rabbi Akiva says that Avodah Zarah is Metameh B'maga V'masa. This is how the Braisa will be read, according to Rabbi Lazar. Nothing new has occurred. All we did is now took a Braisa, we edited the Braisa, and the Braisa now could be read, both according to Rabbi and according to Rabbi Lazar. Maskav Rav Ashi Mahein. So Rav Ashi now says, okay, look, we did a fairly good job rereading the Braisa. However, even according to both positions, Rabbah and Rav Elazar, as we reread the Braisa, understanding that the Braisa needed editing. But let's go back to the Braisa. Let's read the Braisa again. Go back to the first wide line of our Amud. Nachri v'nachris avodah zarah misham sheha. Hein v'lo hesetan. So them, but not their heset. Now heset, again, as we understand up until now, means masa, means carrying them. Hein v'lo hesetan. Them, but not their heset. So Rav Ashi says, let me ask everybody a question. We did a wonderful job trying to edit the Braisa and reread the Braisa. But no one accounted for the word hein. Now, hain means them. Now, how do you read that? And as Rashi over here points out, maskaflo ravashi my hain, e rabba v'revelazar hesed debraisa, lashon masa mashmaluhu, shesitu acherim, dehainu masa. Now, we understood hesed up until now to mean masa, meaning that these people carried another item. My hain v'hesetan. Now, how do you read that? Them and that which they carry. Hain v'lo hesetan. Diktani bein l'Rabbi Kiva bein l'Rabbanan. Ilamar dehein atzman tameim pshita. Now, if all the Brice is telling me what the word hain is, that their tamei, well, isn't that obvious? And Rashi over here beautifully articulates the question. The itar in haim has the menalahu. If they themselves are tahor, so obviously if they carry somebody else or something else, so how can they communicate tumah if they themselves are tahor? Meaning, I'll put it in other words. If we already established that anything they carry is going to be tameh, so obviously they themselves are going to be a source of tumah. And why would the Brice have to say they're tameh and anything they carry is tameh? That is a totally unnecessary point, and it makes us now think that our understanding of the Brice, even in the edited version, is not correct. So Rav Ashi now is going to be giving a totally new way to understand the Brice. Not totally. But with one significant adjustment. Elam Ravashi Hachi Kamar. This is how we're going to explain the Braisa. And before I continue reading in the Gemara, what we're going to do now is that we're going to go back to the word Heset, and now we're going to understand it in the traditional sense. Heset does not mean that the person who's Tameh is carrying somebody else, but Heset means what it traditionally means. And that is that the person, I'm sorry. The word Heset, we understood it to mean up until now Masa, which means that you carried the Avodah Zarah, or you carried the non-Jewish man, or you carried the non-Jewish woman. Now what we're going to do is understand it in the traditional sense. Hesed means that the source of Tumah itself, now there are four things mentioned in the Braisa. Two of them are people. The third one is Avodah Zarah. The fourth one is the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah. But let's go with the first two, the Nachri and the Nachris. Hesed means they moved another item. They didn't physically touch the item. They didn't lift the item, but they moved another item. That's what Hesed means classically. And Rav Ashi says that's what it means here in the Braisa. And here's now how it's going to read. Nachri v'nachris bein hein sheheseto es acherim. Ubein acherim sheheseto osam. So here's what it means. That when it comes to the non-Jewish man or non-Jewish woman, it does not matter whether they moved somebody else or others moved them. Tumayim. So now there's going to be Tumah. Because again, as we've already established, based on the Gemara Nida, that the Tumah Durabanan on Nachri V'Nachris is going to be a fully like a Zava and a Nida. And so that means that the communication of the Tumah will be done through Maga and through Masa and Heset. And just simply moving another item. Whether they move somebody else or something else, or whether somebody else moves them. Avodah Zarah she sito acherim tahorim. Now, when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, if the Avodah Zarah moves something else, and the Gemara in just a moment is going to be asking the obvious question, the Avodah Zarah is an inanimate object. How is that Avodah Zarah moving anything else? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. And so Avodah Zarah she sito acherim tahorim. So if it moves something else, it's going to be tahor acherim she sito asa tameim. But if somebody else moves the Avodah Zarah, it is going to be that item is going to be tame, meaning that's masa, that's carrying. And when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, when it comes to Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, so in either way, it's going to be tahor, meaning Tashmishi Avodah Zarah will not have any form of heset and not masa, and it's only going to be limited to maga. Rabbi Kiva Omer Nachri V'Nachris V'Avodah Zarah Bein Hein Sheisito Asachem Bein Achem Sheisito Asam Tameim. And Rabbi Kiva now says that when it comes to Anachris and Avodah Zarah, so then the transmission of Tumah is going to be Maga and Masa. And it's going to be just like the Nachri and Anachris are going to be given the status of a Zava, of a full Zava, and a full Nida, so is the Avodah Zarah. And so therefore, when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, whether you move the Avodah Zarah or, and I say this knowing it sounds a little absurd, or the Avodah Zarah moves you, so then there'll be transmission of Tumah. mishamsha bein hen sheisitu achem bein achem sheisitu asam tahorim. And when it comes to tashmishi avodah zarah, both when the it moves you or you you move it, it's going to be tahor, because tashmishi avodah zarah is only mitame b'maga, not b'masa. And what did we just do? Rav Ashi now explain the word hen, because now that we're understanding hesed in the classic sense, so now we understand that it means that whether the Nachri moved another item, or another item moved them, otherwise known as Masa. Okay. And by the way, Rav Ashi's explanation was all according to Rabbah. And you'll have to assume, and you don't have to assume, by the way, because Rashi goes over it, I'm just not going to go over the Rashi inside, that Rav Ashi would be also more than happy to explain the Braisa according to Reb Elazar as well. Rav Ashi's point over here is that you can't just simply ignore the word Hain, and so therefore he reinterpreted the Braisa, reintroducing and explaining what the word Hain is doing in the Braisa. Now, Avodah Zarah, now let's deal with Rav Ashi's Pshat and what seems to be an absurdity in Rav Ashi's Pshat, meaning that Hesed now is understood in the traditional sense. But that means to say that Hesed means, as opposed to Masa, you're lifting up the Avodah Zarah. What's Hesed? The Avodah Zarah is moving you. What? What does that mean? Avodah Zarah Bishlam Achem Sheisito Asa Mishkachala. For you to pick up an Avodah Zarah that I understand. Elahi Sheisito Asachem Hechem Mishkachala. But how can the Avodah Zarah move you? It's an inanimate object. So the Gemara says, no, it's halachically possible. The Gemara is not going to, for a moment, the Gemara is going to give any kind of a strange answer. The Gemara is going to give a halachic answer. Amar Rami Berei de Rav Yehba Kedinan Azav Bekaf Mezayim Va'ochlin Amashkin Bekaf Shniya. So, based on the following, the Gemara describes it as a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa. Anyway, you have a Zav on one side of the scale, right? It's a human being, but he's a Zav, he has Tumat Ziva. And he's on one side of the scale, and food and drink is on the other side of the scale. Kara HaZav, and now, just imagine that the Zav is heavier than the food, which is kind of easy to imagine, generally speaking, but this is just a simple question of weight. And if there is more Zav on one side than there is food on the other side, so now what's going to happen is that the scale is going to tip down in favor of the Zav, and the Zav is going to be lifting, not manually with his hands, but with the weight of his body, the Zav is going to be lifting now the food. So, Karu Hazav Tamei In. So then the food are going to be Tamei. Now we turn to the Amud base. Karu Hain, however, let's say the amount of food that was put down was so weighty that actually the scale now tipped in favor of the food. And now it lifted the Zav. So, under those circumstances, Hain Tahorin, they're going to be Tahor. Meaning that when it comes to this unique Tumah of Hesed, it applies to a Zav, it does not apply to the food. But at least now we can formulate, we can actually put in a sentence, how can the Avodah Zarah be moving, lifting somebody else? So like the example of the scales of the Braisa. So that's at least a way of now formulating how the Avodah Zarah could possibly be moving something else, or somebody else. Right, exactly. Kind of like a seesaw. So, Kemanaz Lahad Detanya, the Gemara says, okay, how about the following Braisa? Now that we have all of our principles in place, and we spent a good amount of time this morning going over a Braisa and explaining a Braisa, how about consider now the following Braisa? The Braisa reads, Kol HaTameos HaMasitos Tahoros. Anything that is a source of Tamei, that moves another item, so it's going to be Tahor Chutz Mei Seichel Shozav, with exception to the Seichel Shozav. Shelo Matzino Lo Chaver B'Chol HaTorah Kula. Now this idea, that a Zav moving another item, transmitting the Tumah to that other item that it moved, this is something that is special and unique only to a Zav. So Lema Deloka Rabbi Akiva. Now, assumingly, the author of this price is not Rabbi Akiva. Dika Rabbi Akiva. Ikanami Avodah Zarah, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you have Avodah Zarah as well. And if the Braisa wanted to tell us the unique nature of Hesed, that it only applies to, so it should, according to Rabbi Akiva, not only mention Zav, but should mention Avodah Zarah as well. The Gemara says, I don't think that is absolute. Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva, the author of the Braisa could be Rabbi Akiva, Tana Zav B'chol D'damila. Zav over here could be understood just simply as a category. The category of Zav. Because remember, the Tumah that's on Avodah Zarah is the Tumah D'Rabbanan. And it is patterned after the Tumah of Ziva. So when the Braisa says Zav, it just simply meant that anything falling under the category of Zav. Avodah Zarah, from a Tumah standpoint, is under the category of Ziva. By Rav Chama bar Guria, Avodah Zarah yesh le'ivarim ein le'ivarim. Okay, and now let's go back. So after now we have presented the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and the subsequent machlokas amarayim between Rabba and Rabbi Lazar, as to how to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, the Gemara now is finishing up on our topic, meaning we're not going to be breaking new ground in terms of this understanding. So far the understanding that we've had now is set. I mean, it's not a conclusion, but nevertheless, it's set. And now the Gemara goes back to this question, Rav Chama bar Guria, Avodah Zarah yesh le'ivarim o ein le'ivarim, is Avodah Zarah going to be Tameh when it is in segments? And then we're not talking about Isser right now, we're just talking about the Tumah. Now, Hechadeh hedya yachalach zero loti bailach. Now, if it could be put together simply, right, it's really easy to put it back in place. You and I could do it, or let me say it even better, I could do it. So, dekaman de mechaber is dami. So there, we're going to treat it like it's still intact, and therefore it's going to give up tumah. Ki dibay lach echadein hedya yachalach zero. My, the question becomes, what if you can't get anybody to put it back together, but rather you need to call? You need to call in a professional. So on one hand, maybe we could say that since you need somebody who is a professional to put it back together, so we have to view it now as if it's broken, and therefore it's no longer going to be subject to this tumah de rabbanan. Or maybe no. And the fact of the matter is that all the pieces are here; it just needs to be put back together again. And now the other way of presenting Rami Bar Chama is if I need to call a professional in order to put it back together again, it is now in pieces, and everyone would agree. Kiti Bailach, the question of Rami Bar Chama is, Rav Chama Bar Guria, his question is, Kiti Bailach, Hechadeh, Hedya Yacholach Zero. Question is, when a commoner could put it back together again? My, came into Hedya Yacholach Zero, commanded Metabra, Dame. So on one hand, since the hedger can put it back together again, so it's command de mechabra, it's like it's now put back together, and therefore it's going to be a source of tumah. Or on the other hand, no, right now it's not back together again, and therefore it's not going to be a source of tumah. So the Gemara now just simply explored and explained a little bit better the question of Reb Chama bar Guria. And again, all this is only vis-a-vis tumah, because again, as far as Issa is concerned, Avodah Zarah is Aser Behana, even while broken to pieces. The question here is only regarding around Tumah. By Rav Achdubuy Bar Ame, the Gemara has another follow-up question. Avodah Zarah Pechusa Me Kezayis Mahu. Now, the Avodah Zarah that's less than the size of a Kezayis, what is its status? Now, right now, the Gemara is not sure whether it's asking in terms of Iser or whether it's asking in terms of Tumah. And that's the Gemara's next point of clarification. So Matkav Rav Yosef Lamai, what are you talking about? Ilema Linyan Isur, we're talking about Isur Lo Yehi El Zvuv Bal Ekron. If we're talking about Avodah Zarah and it is worshipped, a Chetzer Shal Avodah Zarah, size is totally irrespective of the Isur. And the Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Yasimu Lahem Bal Bris Lelokim Bal Bris Lelohim Zezvuv Bal Ekron. The Navi and Shoftim, this is by Gidon. The Navi and Shoftim is describing Avodah Zarah. So the word over here is Elohim. So Zezvav Balakrom, that's referring to a particular Avodah Zarah, and the Avodah Zarah was in the shape of a bug, in the shape of a bug and the size of a bug. So Malamit Shekolecha Ve'echad Asa Demus Yeroso. So each one of them now, this is a pocket-sized Avodah Zarah. So they would make the image, Umenicha B'soch Kiso, and they put it in the pocket, Kevish Zorchara, and the moment they remember their Avodah Zarah, Motzi Amisoch Kiso, they take it from their pocket, Umechabka, they hug it, umenashka, they kiss it. Again, Avodah Zarah is so hard for you and I to understand, right? The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah is been taken away. The Gemara in Yuma goes over how we no longer have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So to us all, this seems very strange behavior, but back there, they had a tremendous Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. And even for an image that looked like a bug, just, you know, if we just take a moment to think about what they were absolutely obsessed with. Anyway, so Ella Le'inyan Tumamai. So the question is not regarding Isser. When it comes to Isser, Isuri Avodah Zarah, once something is worshipped as an Avodah Zarah, it will be Usser regardless of its size. So when we're asking over here is Tumah. My. Kevin Ishkish L'Sheret. So over here now it goes back to what we're comparing the Tumah of Avodah Zarah. If we're comparing to Shratzim HaSheretz Becha Adasha of Avodah Zarah Name Becha Adasha. So we know that Tumah Sheretz gives off Tumah even if you only have the size, the remains of a lentil of the Sheretz. That is a small shear. a significantly small shear. And that means to say now that the same thing would be true regarding Avodah Zarah. Odoma ha'ikish l'mace. On the other hand, we know the Avodah Zarah is compared to a mace. My mace b'kezayis, Avodah Zarah b'kezayis. And just like my mace is a kezayis, so too Avodah Zarah is also going to be the size of a kezayis. Amar Avavi v'tem Rava bar Ula Tashma de Tanya. The Gemara says, okay, we know the answer based on the following brisa. Avodah Zarah p'chusa mekezayis. I have Avodah Zarah that's less than a kezayis. Ein ba toma kol ikar. It does not have toma at all. Shenemar v'yashleches afra el or al kever b'nei ha'am. Mameis b'kezayis of Avodah Zarah b'kezayis. The brisa says it very clearly that how much Avodah Zarah do you need in order to have this toma d'rabban? You need a kezayis because the Navi compares it to a mace. By the way, this kind of comes out of left field. We've spent yesterday and most of today talking about how Avodah Zarah is either compared to a sheretz based on the pasuk in Dvarim, or it's compared to a nida based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu. And now, kind of like out of left field, by the way, it's also compared to a mace as well, which gives us now the shear of the tuma. Up until now, the Gemara did not entertain this pasuk in Malachim at all. Anyway, v'rabban lamai hilchasa itkish l'sheretz. So now, according to the Chachamim, the Gemara says, let's do a summary, according to the Chachamim. So it's compared to a sheretz de la metame b'masa. That means to say that it's not metame b'masa. And the Gemara now is presenting the Chachamim as presented by Rebbe Lazar. So it's not metame b'masa. Fine. L'nida de'ina le'ivarim. Now, why does the Torah compare it to nida? Just like by nida, there's no tumas e'ivarim, as we explained in yesterday's daf. So too, by Avodah Zarah, there's no tumas e'ivarim. Good. L'meis de la metame b'chadasha. And the Torah compares it to a mace. That's the pasuk of Malachim that we just learned together. So they tell us that how much of the Avodah Zarah do you need in order to give off tuma? The amount of a kezayis, not that of a nadasha. So do you know what we just did, aside from having a wonderful review of all the halachas of tuma by Avodah Zarah according to the Chachamim? So if you've been following the three comparisons, we went in all three comparisons, lekula. We were lenient in all three. One, it's not metame b'masa, only b'maga, like a sheretz. That's a kula. Two, just like a nida is not metame tumas evarim, neither is the Avodah Zarah. That's a kula. And three, how much of it do you need? Well, that's the pasuk in Malachim comparing it to a mace where you need a kezayis. Not like a sheretz where you need only but an adasha. That also is a kula. So with these three comparisons, the Chachamim were mekam. The Gemara says, what just happened? Eim l'chumra. So lamai hilchasa ikshe rachman l'sheretz l'tumoy v'chadasha. And here's the conclusions we could have drawn based on these three comparisons. One, why is the Torah comparing it to a sheretz? Because you only need an adasha. Two, l'nida l'tumoy b'evim esama, akshe rachmana, and comparing it to nida, telling us that not only is it metame b'masa, but even evim esama, and l'meis l'tumoy b'ohel. And why don't we say that the avodah zarah should be metame tumas ohel, just like a mesis? Meaning, if we have all three of these comparisons, we could come up with three separate chumras. And the Gemara says, to punctuate now our entire discussion, and this is something that I gave away at the beginning of the sugya, but here the Gemara presents tumas avodah zarah derabbanan. This idea that avodah zarah is a source of tuma is a din derabbanan. V'kula v'chumra l'kula makshina l'chumra l'makshina. So when dealing with the din derabbanan, so the Chachamim felt that it was necessary to be mekel, not machmir. So even though there are three comparisons, and the comparisons could allow us to arrive either at chumras or akulas, because the din itself is a din derabbanan, so therefore the Chachamim elected to be mekel in this regard. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of Tuma of Avodah Zarah. Admittedly, a difficult daf, and one that doesn't speak to us simply because we are deficient in our understanding of Tuma Tahara, and as an Avodah Zarah itself. So really, we're putting together Avodah Zarah and Tuma, two topics it's good that the Avodah Zarah doesn't speak to us, but two topics that don't speak to us from a practical standpoint. So admittedly, a challenging daf. We're going to continue. We are now on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, and our next topic, Minayin L'Sfina She'i Tahora. A boat is not going to be susceptible to Tuma. Now, a boat is obviously a very large item, to say the least, right? Even the two-seater. But the boat is going to be not susceptible to Tuma. Shenamar, and we have a remez to this in the Pasuk in Mishlei. And again, that's the construct of all these Mishnayos. A halacha, and it's supported by a Pasuk. But it's certainly not the source of this halacha. It's just simply an asmachta. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Derech aniyah belev yam. The waves of the boat are in the hearts of the ocean, right? Kind of like the ocean knows where the boat's going to go. Okay. Without trying to explain well what the pasuk in Mishlei is trying to communicate to us, but the Gemara now is going to be taking it from a strict halachic standpoint. Pshita ania belev yam hi. So the Gemara says, now as far as the pasuk is concerned, where else is the boat going to go? Of course it's going to go in the ocean. So akamash malan kiyam. So now we're looking at the pasuk from a strictly halachic standpoint. And that is my yam, tahora, asfina tahora. Now the yam, of course, is a source of, it is tahor. It's not susceptible to tama. In fact, just the opposite. It can make something tama tahor. But anyway, but certainly the ocean is not susceptible to tama. So to the boat that's on the ocean is also not going to be susceptible to tama as well. So that is the first explanation of why a boat is not susceptible to tuma, because of this comparison. Now, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa Chananya, Omer Nilmada Misak. No, the reason why a boat is not subject to tuma is because we're going to learn it out from Sak, meaning we're assuming right now that the boat is made out of wood. And what is the halacha as it relates to a Sak? Ma Sak Metalta Male Verekan, Avko Metalta Male Verekan. So, in order for a wood to, or anything constructed from wood, to be eligible and subject to tuma, it has to be carried while it's empty and while it's full. So too, anything else is going to have to follow that model, where it's going to be carried empty and it's going to be carried full as well. La fuke sfina, de ena metatelos male vireka. Now, the boat itself is not going to be carried male vireka. And as a result of that, in other words, we're talking about carrying the actual boat itself. Meaning the boat itself is not going to be carried in this manner, and that's why it's not going to be eligible to tuma. We have now in front of us two different reasons, explanations, why it is that the why the boat is not susceptible to tuma. One, the pasuk in Mishlei, comparing the boat to an ocean. Two, this model, only wooden instruments that are going to be eligible for tuma is only if it's going to be carried, both when it's full and when it's empty. And a boat simply will not be carried while it's full and while it's empty. So my beinayu kibinayu. So the Gemara points out that they're going to be nafkamin is based on these two reasons that were just given. Sfinah shocheres, nafkamin number one. The Gemara is going to give us two. Nafkamin number one. What if the boat is made out of earthenware? Man da amar aniya belev yam hanami belev yami. Now, if you're just going to go with the pasuk of Mishlei, making the comparison to a boat and the ocean, so then as long as it's defined as a boat, as long as it floats in the water, so then it's going to be not susceptible to tumah. But laman damar kisak. But if, however, we're learning it from sak, hanach dixivik abisak di imatatelus malivirekan ini lo lo. Avas finish acheres avagav de ina matatelus malivirekan. This criteria that it has to be carried both when it is full and when it's empty is only specific to something that is made out of wood. But if it's made out of cheres, it does not have this criteria. It does not have these requirements, and therefore a boat made of cheres would be tameh. Inami, the Gemara says, I'll give you another nafkamina, that's Sfinas Yarden. Let's say it's a very small boat that goes on the Jordan River, meaning it's not a big boat that goes on the ocean, but it's a smaller boat. Laman dami aniya belev yamhi hanami aniya belev yamhi. Once again, if we're going to go with the pasuk of Mishlei, so the pasuk of Mishlei tells us that it's as long as it's a boat on the water, so we compare it to the water. Water is not susceptible to tuma, neither is a boat. Laman damer mitatelos maliverekan hanami mitatelos maliverekan. If, however, the criteria is based on the fact that we compare it to a sock, and anything that is going to be carried both full and empty is going to be tamei, our smaller boat that goes on the Jordan River, so that's something that can be carried. Meaning what you can do is that you can take the boat and you can bring it out of water. It is small enough where it can actually be lifted out of the water. And so therefore it is going to meet the criteria of being subject to tuma. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya that says that why is it that the boats that go on the river are in fact going to be tamei? Because what happens is that you can take the boat out of the water, and then you can bring certain to the water. So the boat is going to be carried both when it's full and when it's empty, and that's why the boat of the Jordan River is going to be tamei. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Lola, Mal Yimna Adam Esatzma Mi Beis Hamedrash VaAfilu Sha'achas Rav Yehuda says, here's a lesson I have for everybody. Be in the Beis Medrash as often as possible. Try not to miss anything. You see, we've gone over this Mishnah so many times, and I never understood the Mishnah. And Rabbi Hanina ben Akavi came along and explained it. And as a result of him explaining it, so now I understand. The reason why a boat is not going to be Tameh is because it's not carried. Both in its state of where it is full or when it's empty. In other words, it doesn't match the criteria of stock. And that's why it's not Matame. And although the Mishnah itself makes a comparison to the Pasuk of Mishlei, but according to Rabbi Hanania, that's not it. The reason why is because it doesn't match the criteria of stock. And I wouldn't have known that if I missed that day in the Beis Medrash. Am Rav Yonasan la'olam ayimna adam esatzma mi-Beis HaMedrash. Umi divrei Torah ve'afilu v'shas misa. A person should try not to miss a day in the Beis Medrash and learning Torah. And even while the person is at the end of his life, Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos Ba'olam. Beginning of Parshas Chukas. The Gemara here is not giving the simple Pashup shot in the Pesukim, but nevertheless, it can be teased out of the Pasuk. When a person is dying still, he should be Be'olal, he should be in the tent, meaning he should be learning. Afilu B'shas Misa Te'osik B'Torah. Amrish Lakish Ein Devei Torah Mitzchaimim Ela B'Misha Me'Misa Atzma Alaha. In terms of mastering Torah and really getting ourselves wrapped around the ideas of the Torah, so you have to kill yourself over the Torah. Shenemar Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos Ba'olam. So meaning that Torah and the mastery of Torah requires work, effort, exertion. And that also can be learned out from the Pasuk as well. Right? Certainly a lot of Musar is generated from these last couple of lines over here on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. But it comes up over here just simply Agav Orcha by way of the fact that we quoted this Pasuk in terms of try to never miss the Beis Medrash, because if you miss the Beis Medrash, then you miss the halacha regarding why a boat is not susceptible to Tumah. Obviously, this will be our stopping point. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up. I mean, it's Yom Tov tomorrow, but the Daf will pick it up with the words Amarava. All right, let's quickly recap our day today. Today, we spent the most of our day continuing our discussion of the first topic of the ninth parak of Shabbos, that Avodah Zarah is Metame. How is it Metame? So according to the Chachamim B'maga, according to Rabbi Akiva B'masa, and even as I say that so simply, the Gemara now spent half of yesterday's daf and three quarters of today's daf going over the Amachlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. It's based on the fact that the Torah compares it to a sheretz, which is Metame B'maga. The Navi Yeshaya compares it to a Nida, which is Metame B'masa. And, as we learned at the end of the entire sugya, there's an additional pasuk in Sefer Melachim that compares it to a mace. But that comes up only at the end of the entire sugya. And within this machlokas between Rabbi Kiv and the Chachamim, a subsequent machlokas between Rabba and Rav Elazar, exactly how to paint the parameters of this machlokas. We're not going to go over it again right now, but that has been the majority of today's daf. And then at the end of today's daf, a boat. A boat is not susceptible to Tumah. Why not? Two different reasons that are given. One, the Pasuk Mishlei, comparing it to an ocean. Two, the Pshat of Rabbi Hananya, which is that it doesn't follow the pattern of a sock. A sock is metame when it is carried, both when it's empty and full. So too, a boat is only going to be metame if you carry the boat. But obviously, the boat's too big to carry, and so therefore, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. What are the nafkaminas based on these two reasons? The Gemara gave two. One, if the boat's made out of cheres, so cheres does not have this criteria of metalta malavirekan, that would be nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two would be if it's a smaller boat. A smaller boat would, in fact, be able to be carried. So if the pasuk and mishlei is what's driving the halacha, so the boat is going to be tahor. It will not be susceptible to tumah. If, however, what's driving us is the Pshad Rabbi Hananya, the boat would in fact be Tameh, and that is the two nafkaminas of these two reasons that are given. We will stop over here.